slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So the slave here, he didn't have to continually plead with the king to forgive him. He didn't have to attempt to persuade the king to do so. Quite the contrary. The king's heart was full of compassion, it says here, for the slave, and that moved him to forgive the slave. Right then on the spot. He forgave him immediately. The king didn't have to think it over whether or not he's going to forgive him. He didn't say, come back and see me in a week, or come back and see me in a month or in a year. He forgave him immediately, simply because he was asked for forgiveness. No reluctance, no hesitancy, no, and this is what we see today, no, let's wait and see. The gracious king was ready and quick to forgive. We also see that the king forgave the slave freely. Verse 27, the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 32, he says, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. The compassion of the king, because of that, he was willing to forgive the slave of 10,000 talents. Remember, when we looked at that, we're looking at $6 billion. An enormous amount. But he just freely forgave him. For God to forgive us, it cost him everything. Everything. He sent his only beloved son into the world to suffer and to die upon the cross to pay our debt of sin. Forgiveness is to be granted just for the asking. The Lord says in Luke 17, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins you against you seven times in a day and returns seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Not only did the king forgive the slave readily, quickly, freely, he forgave him completely. Verse 32, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. That's an important point, because sometimes it's hard to forgive. Hard to forgive because the sin committed is so grievous. And at times such sin causes just unbearable pain. Life might not never be the same after a particular sin. You think about those who crucified the Lord Jesus. Think of what grief, what suffering it caused the Savior. But he forgave them. He prayed, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In a very real sense, we participated in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus because it was our sins for which he suffered and died. Had we not sinned, Jesus wouldn't have suffered and died. John Stott says, once our eyes have been opened to see the enormity of our offenses against God, the injuries which others have done to us appear, by comparison, extremely trifling. So God says to us, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And to do that means that we must forgive repeatedly. It says in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And I read that portion from Luke 17. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day, and he returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. How many times a day, do we go before the Lord saying, forgive me? Every day. We'd almost think it would be nice if it was limited just to seven times, wouldn't it? We sin against the Lord so much, and he's always ready to forgive us. So as he says to the Colossians, bear with one another, forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Well, just two final points here as we're coming to the table. Every time we do come to the table, we are reminded that God has forgiven us And we're reminded of what it costs God to forgive us. Being reminded that we are forgiven sinners, we are reminded that we are to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. The table reminds us about forgiveness. We must be a forgiving people. And secondly, when partaken of the supper together, we are reminded of the oneness of the church. And maintaining unity and oneness, that requires forgiving one another even as God has forgiven us. There won't be unity if there won't be forgiveness. So as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, let's do so with thankful hearts that he had compassion upon us and he has forgiven us. And may that be the compelling motive for us to have forgiving hearts towards one another. Well, let's turn in our hymnals now to 393. 393. Jesus said, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."